In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Howard Thurman, probably one of the most influential religious thinkers of the last century, claimed that each one of us is personally responsible for restoring and repairing broken community in the place where we exist, wherever that is. Influenced by Thurman, the 19th century philosopher Josiah Royce and the writings of St. Augustine, interestingly, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote that nonviolence and agape love were the foundation of beloved community. Agape love that was described for you in this reading from 1 Corinthians. This is what love, Christian love, God's love, looks like. King wrote, agape does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sakes and makes no distinction between a friend and enemy. It is directed toward both. Agape love is seeking to preserve and create community. Over the past several years, our branch of the Jesus Movement, the Episcopal Church, has adopted this theme of beloved community as our own particular work as we seek to follow Jesus' way of love. Now, this work, of course, is rooted and reflected in our baptismal covenant. As a parish, we've spent the past 3 or so years asking how we can more faithfully live into the work of inviting others into community. We've actually had a couple of adult formation series on this. We've asked ourselves, how do we do the hard work of repairing and restoring the places where communion has been broken? As I reflected this week on last Sunday's sermon, which is really the first part of this two-part story today, we heard the second part, where Jesus declares his mission to his peers in Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, and so on. And as I reflected on that and where we are this week, it occurred to me that what Jesus is up to is the repair of community, the restoration of community wherever it's been broken. The restoration of beloved community where it's been forgotten or shoved to the side. Or the creation of beloved community where beloved community does not yet exist. Now, Paul, building on what Jesus taught and lived, St. Paul calls it reconciliation. Reconciliation with God that energizes and enables reconciling work with others. The church, I believe, is to be the sacrament, the sign of Christ's reconciling work. We are to be the sign, a beloved community, a sacramental sign to the world, doing that hard work of repairing, restoring, and creating a community in which people learn how to love God more deeply, how to love one another more fully, how to love our enemies, and love the world in the way that St. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. That's a tall order, isn't it? Now you add to that what Jesus told his disciples on the night before he died. Remember, Jesus implored his followers to love one another as he loved them. And then Jesus went on to pray that we all might be one. St. Paul pleaded, and sometimes, well, I think if he'd had a stick, he would have tried to beat him into He controlled his churches, let's just put it nicely. But he was so passionate about his desire for these new communities of Christ followers to be characterized by unity and mutual concern and care for one another and for people outside the community. St. Augustine, a few centuries later, envisioned a Christian community that reflected the love that exists between the members of the Trinity, naming the Father as a lover, the Son as the beloved, and the Holy Spirit as the love that exists between the Father and the Son. This triadic love, Augustine taught, overflowed to create the world and then overflowed into the church through the power of the Spirit, which was in turn, the church was in turn to flood the earth with the love of God. Beautiful vision. St. Francis of Assisi took up this theme, and others, many others. Dr. King. And all of these people were so captured by this dream of beloved community that many of them gave up everything they had, literally gave up everything, or risked life itself. Many of them losing their lives. Now, as wonderful and inviting, I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a community that lived out 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love always thinks the best of people. As wonderful and inviting as that kind of community is, as Jesus and Paul's and King's dream of beloved community is, it has always been met with detractors, skeptics, and opposers. Which brings us to that gospel reading for today. Jesus has just delivered an evidently powerful and impressive 8-word sermon. 8 words. A scripture passage and 8 words. You won't ever get 8 words out of me in a sermon. But evidently, it spoke to people. And the people were amazed, Luke tells us, and complimented Jesus. Someone probably got on Twitter and tweeted, "Hometown preacher hits a home run today. Hashtag go Jesus." But it didn't take long, did it, for the tables to turn. And you see this played out in the Passion narrative. The crowd that is so enamored with Jesus and what he can give them and what they can get out of him suddenly becomes so infuriated that they try to shove him off a cliff. This story from Jesus' life always reminds me of my college pastor, Dr. Carter, who was the pastor, longtime pastor of Shades Mountain Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. When he was a young preacher, he would invite black ministers and their congregations to revival meetings where he was preaching. Now, this was in central Alabama back in the 1960s. One night, he was preaching to a mixed-race congregation, and guess who showed up? The Ku Klux Klan. They came, showed up outside, gathered, and a couple of them were riding on horses. And they threatened to ride their horse through the double doors, the front doors of the church, and down the aisle and chase the black ministers and the black congregants out of that service. Now, the story goes that this young preacher boy, we call him in the South, stood in the threshold of the front doors of that church, waved a Bible, and said, "You'll come into this church and disturb our worship over my dead body." Now, the Klan left, but the next night they came back again to burn a cross outside in the yard while the worshipers were gathered inside. And this is one thing of which you can always be certain. Whenever you do the work of repairing and restoring beloved community, you will encounter opposition. We see that at play today. And why is that? Why would people not want to live in a community characterized by the kind of love that St. Paul talked about. Why are we so resistant? Why are we so afraid of being in community with one another? Now, there are many reasons. And I think one of those reasons is fear. Fear that if you have a share of God's good creation, then that might diminish my share of God's creation. If you get a little bit, then where did you get it from? Maybe you have to get it from me instead of living out of generosity. Another reason is that some folks are so broken by the lack of love they've experienced that they don't even know where to begin to love someone else the way that St. Paul describes. As the great philosopher RuPaul says, and if you don't know who RuPaul is, ask me after the service. Honey, if you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else? Building and restoring community is just hard work sometimes, and that's why many of us find it so difficult to keep engaged in it. I mean, it's easier just to maintain the status quo. You know, we got a pretty good thing going here. We got some good music. We're comfortable. So let's just maintain this. Or let's let somebody else do the work. I need to take a break for a while. Let's let them do the work. Or worse, and I think this is where it really touches on us who live in our particular community, we allow the prevailing culture to squeeze us into its mold so that God's dream for our beloved community is all but sidelined. But I want to go a little bit deeper with this. I wonder if at the heart of our resistance and reticence to beloved community is our aversion to risk. What will it cost me to live in beloved community? In beloved community, everyone shares in the cost. Everyone shares in the risk. And I think that's why the church folk in Nazareth became so angry that Sabbath. Because Jesus reminded them that God's love and invitation to beloved community extends to everyone. To people who may be different. To people we may not like very much. It seems that Jesus' congregation that day wanted enough religion to make them feel good about themselves, but not enough to love everybody. A couple of weeks ago, Mother Carissa and I attended a preaching workshop led by Bishop Jennifer Baskerville Burroughs. She's the first black diocesan bishop elected in the Episcopal Church. Took us a few hundred years, but we got there. She asked the group if the underlying reason the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan, she asked if the reason that they did not want to help the man, the reason they refused to help the man left in the ditch to die, was because when they were confronted with a fellow human being in deep need, they asked, what will happen to us if we get involved? The Samaritan, on the other hand, asked a different question. What will happen to him if I don't get involved? What made the Samaritan good was that he asked that question. He was willing to take the risk, knowing that it was going to cost him something. Sisters and brothers, pursuing God's dream, a beloved community, always comes with risk and it comes with cost. Always. Willingness to be honest about identifying the places of brokenness is risky. Some of us are going to be taking the IDI, the Intercultural Development Inventory. I took it a few years ago and I was shocked. I thought I was one of the most open and inclusive people on the face of God's green earth. And lo and behold, it identified some places where I needed to be, I needed to do a little work. It's risky to look in the mirror and ask yourself the hard questions. Jesus pointed out the brokenness that he observed among his own people, and he almost got killed that day. I mean, it's not easy to hear that God loves the right wing of this party or the left wing of that party. That God loves the rioters and the racists just as much as he loves us good church-going Episcopalians. It's not easy to hear that beloved community is not complete, that God's dream for the world is not complete until they, whoever they are a part of it as well. It's risky business to pick up a danger out of the ditch when you have no idea what it will cost. It costs the Good Samaritan time and money. If we actually make beloved community a reality in our own day, in our own time, in this place, it will cost us something. It will be risky because we are going against the grain of a culture that does absolutely everything it can to resist or ignore beloved community. A couple of hours ago, we started our annual meeting. It's that time of the year when we look back at 2021 and we start to think about God's call to us for 2022. I think these are really great passages of Scripture in our readings today to do some work in, to reflect on those passages and Jesus' vision of beloved community. Those passages raise some questions for me, which, being the good preacher that I am, I'm going to pass them on to you for you to think about this week. Where are the places of brokenness in our world? Where are the broken places in this community that surround us? Where are the broken places in us that need healing? What relationships in our own lives are broken and need repair? What will it cost us to repair those broken places? What are we willing to risk to build beloved community right here at Good Samaritan Episcopal Church? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you gave up everything. You risked your life and your reputation for the sake of love. You became poor so that we might become rich. You humbled yourself to the point of death so that we could have fullness of life. Give us the grace and courage to follow in your footsteps. Open our eyes to the broken places in us and in our world. Give us the strength and the will to bear the risk and cost of loving one another, loving the world, loving the stranger, loving our enemies as much as you love them. Help us to make your dream of beloved community our dream. We ask this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Yeah.